Hello and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight, Black Voices. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at. Organizers and state lawmakers pushed to reopen Weiss Hospital after it closed in Uptown last month due to federal funding cuts. And vending machines containing an overdose reversing drug are coming to some CTA stations. First off tonight, Northside immigrant rights activists say ICE agents are pushing new boundaries in their efforts to round up undocumented immigrants.
Before Trump's return to office, shelters like this one were among the sensitive locations that were off limits to immigration enforcement, along with schools, hospitals, and churches. ICE historically was not permitted by their own policy to target these places along shelters. Trump repealed that policy on day one of his administration, and this week his ICE agents decided they wanted to test those limits.
The group's Coalition Against the Trump Agenda and the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights claim ICE agents attempted to enter a homeless shelter in Albany Park this week but were denied entry. Agents still detained two people outside the facility who were released. In a statement late this afternoon, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem responded to the shooting at a Dallas ICE facility, where one detainee was killed and two others are in critical condition. It reads, quote, "Our prayers are with the families of those killed and our ICE law enforcement. This vile attack was motivated by hatred for ICE. For months, we've been warning politicians and the media to tone down their rhetoric about ICE law enforcement before someone was killed." It goes on to say this shooting must serve as a wake-up call to the far left that their rhetoric about ICE has consequences. Comparing ICE day in and day out to the Nazi Gestapo, the secret police, and slave patrols has consequences. Authorities say the suspected gunman in the Dallas shooting took his own life. All adults are recommended to receive the COVID-19 booster shot this fall. That message from the Illinois Department of Public Health as it breaks from federal guidelines that only recommend the vaccine for a small group of people. The standing order from IDPH recommends the vaccine for all children 6 to 23 months old, children ages 2 to 17 who have an underlying risk factor or live with someone who does, any child whose parents want them to have the shot, people who are pregnant, planning, or postpartum, and all adults. Last month, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention only recommended the vaccine for people ages 65 and older. This move from IDPH does require most health insurers to cover the cost, and for more on that, please visit our website. At 106 years old, Loyola University's Sister Jean is retiring. She has served as the longtime chaplain and perhaps biggest fan of the Loyola men's basketball team. Sister Jean rose to fame during the team's Final Four run in the 2018 NCAA tournament, often found sitting courtside, cheering the men on. But as the team chaplain for 30 years, she also provided players with support, mentorship, and encouragement. She wrote a memoir in 2023 titled Wake Up with Purpose, What I've Learned in My First 100 Years. The school's student newspaper, the Loyola Phoenix, broke the news earlier this month that Sister Jean is stepping away because of health concerns. Up next, the crisis at Weiss Hospital, right after this.
Chicago Tonight, Black Voices, is made possible in part by the support of these donors.
Community members and local leaders are pushing to reopen Weiss Hospital. The Uptown facility shut its doors last month after losing the Medicaid grants it depends on. Activists are urging the hospital's owner to appeal the funding cut by, the federal deadline, and that is today. They worry the closure leaves a critical gap in healthcare access, especially for low-income and elderly patients. Joining us to discuss the effort are Wilma Pittman, a longtime Uptown resident and organizer with Northside Action for Justice. Lily Lay, organizing director at the Vietnamese Association of Illinois. And State Senator Mike Simmons, whose district includes parts of the North Side, including Uptown and Ravenswood. Thanks to all three of you for joining us. Okay, so Senator, let's start with you. Please explain to us what's going on here. You have said that the $4 million in state safety net funds that were supposed to go to the hospital are being withheld, and that they'll be released when that Medicaid funding cut is appealed. However, the deadline, as we've said, that's today. So why make this move?
Yeah. So we actually just heard from CMS that the appeal has actually been filed by Weiss Hospital. So this is a big win for the community. Myself and your co-panelists literally were on the organizing on Monday, standing in front of the hospital, literally called Dr. Prasad, the CEO of this hospital, on his cell phone as we demanded that he submit this appeal. And we just got clarification that the appeal was filed by the deadline, which was at 5 o'clock today. It should not have taken this long, because the reality is that Weiss Hospital has several improvements that need to be made for the safety of the patients that use this facility. It is one of the only safety nets on the safety net hospitals on the far north side of Chicago. We had to fight, myself and the state senate had to fight really hard to get safety net status for them in 2023 so that they could access to these funds. And until they have remedied the violations that CMS has found, they will not be able to access that $4 million.
Okay, so it sounds like we're hearing some news here. You just found out today. How recently did you hear this? And did you hear it from Dr. Prasad, who owns the company that owns Weiss Hospital?
So we've been in touch. Dr. Prasad has not been communicative, so I actually got the update from Senator Duckworth's office, our United States senator. And we've been in touch with her and with Senator Durbin to get updates from CMS, as their federal representatives that can get quick updates from them on these types of appeals.
Okay. So we're going to come back to that in a little bit. I want to get Lily in as well, because Weiss Hospital has served many diverse immigrant communities on the north side, as well as many low-income patients, those who are on Medicaid, Medicare. How have some of these folks been getting the medical care that they need in the absence of Weiss?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of concern from the community that I work with, as you said, mostly low-income immigrants and refugees. A lot of folks, right, are really just in limbo and waiting for updates from their providers. To this day, right, the last time I was here was 2 months ago, and back then folks were telling me that they were not receiving communication from the hospital management about the next steps. And almost 2 months later, I still hear the same thing, right, where folks are still in limbo, still don't know where to go for their next appointment. And of course, there's also a scramble to transfer all the inpatient services and get patients out to local hospitals. I'm talking about Thoracic, right, Swedish, but those hospitals are miles away from where the folks that I work with live, right, which they live maybe 5 or 10 minute walk away from Weiss. So my concern is that for a population like elders who often face health emergencies, right, if they do not have access to an emergency room that's a 5 minute walk away, the even a couple minutes can make a huge difference, right, in their health outcomes. And folks are now willing to just postpone their health checkups because of the inconvenience, right, of having to go somewhere far.
So it's possible then that some people are just going without the care that they need.
For sure.
Without Weiss being
For
open.
Sure.
Wilma, you've been a longtime Uptown resident. What are you hearing from your neighbors now that the hospital is closed?
I'm hearing the same thing. Some are delaying health care, which is very concerning to me. And the accessibility, you know, just walking to Weiss, they know the neighborhood. We have so many low-income immigrants that basically everything they do is in the community, and it's really have affected them. We as the community, if EMS come pick them up, we don't know where are they taking them, because Thorax is just overwhelmed with patients. So that's a big, you know, that's a big if, and we try to encourage everyone. They're asking every day, when is Weiss going to open? Weiss going to open? We have people that go there for dialysis. They have senior activities there for them. Homeless population use that hospital. And it's just very devastating to the community. And we just want everyone to know, if the our neighbors are not healthy, then the community is not healthy. Because we really do take care of our elders and everyone in the neighborhood. So
Lily,
we take care of everyone. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Thank you. Lily, we know that you've said that you've been concerned about the hospital's funds being mismanaged. Tell us more about that. What are your concerns there?
Yeah, I mean, we know, right, that over the past 3 years, Dr. Prasad has been receiving money 3 years ago, Ms. Wilma was also one of the folks protesting, right, the mm-hmm. sale of the parking lot. And we know that he received $8 million from that sale. And in 3 years, we have not seen any concrete improvements, right, in the conditions of the hospital. That it led to a situation where the hospital is now closed is deeply concerning, right, because we don't know where that money went. And truly, like, the lack of communication from Dr. Prasad's side shows to us, right, that he's not really moving in good faith. And even the filing of this appeal, right, happened at the very last moment. And I do not believe it would have happened without the community pressure and the oversight, right, that we've been really pushing for Dr. Prasad to be accountable to the people in the community that he serves.
Senator, what's next? What would happen if the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services should grant the appeal?
So if they were to grant the appeal, then we would see the hospital be able to reoperate. If the CMS grants the appeal, that will then mean that it's a safe facility. And so that will free up the state funds, $4 million, that I was able to secure in the budget to be used at Weiss Hospital for all the things that they need to operate this hospital. We've also secured capital dollars for them to be able to improve their boilers and their old AC systems, HVAC systems. But Dr. Prasad has got to act, because every time we've sat down in good faith with him, he ghosts us. And even this Monday, I was not impressed when I called and was sent the voicemail when I was staying with the community.
Okay,
to get an update.
And like you, we also have not received a response from Dr. Prasad of Resilience Healthcare. Why do you think it's been difficult to communicate with him?
You know, I think that overall this situation spells out the need for new leadership. You know, the state has done above and beyond what we would do to stabilize the hospital, because we believe in Weiss Hospital. It's an important resource for the neighborhood. Uptown is a community area on the far north side of Chicago that has some of the highest concentration of poverty per census tract. And so these are folks that are going to need health care. Even with the Medicaid cuts that are being handed down by the federal government right now, it makes Weiss even more important. And so I really want to see Dr. Prasad communicate better with local elected officials and with our community-based leaders, because we have been trying to work with him in good faith, and he has not shown up well for the community.
Ms. Wilma, were you a Weiss patient yourself over the years?
No, I haven't been a Weiss patient. I've been healthy so far, thank God. But I know several members. One of my friends was there. She had a stroke. And the service she got, it was okay. It could have been better. But I think it's just profit over people's, again, is what we're seeing from Weiss. And we're in the uptown community, Edgewater. We're not going to stand for it this time. You know, we're just not going to do it.
What are some of the improvements that you think the hospital needs to make?
First of all, get oxygen in the ER. That's like, I mean, because if you come there in the EMS, you definitely, you know, more likely something with your breathing. Just better treat our members better when they do go there, and have the tools they need. And you can't leave cabinets open, because people can get in there and get drugs. As a matter of fact, I did have someone I know that had an incident there that could have been very devastated. It's because of something that they did. So,
what more do you think the community can do to sort of support each other and to take care of themselves in the meantime until this decision is made by the federal government?
In the meantime, we keep doing what we're doing, asking our patient, are you okay? Asking our
neighbors.
Neighbors, you know, are they okay? We make sure to eat. We make sure if you're going to the doctor, you know, if you need some help, someone can go with them. So it's just a lot of organization and we know people that actually do give people's rides, you know, to the doctor, because a lot of them have mobility issues. They can't take the bus. And if they do take the bus, it takes so long. And then, you know, they can still get sick going to the bus.
Right. Lily, a few seconds left. You know, what if CMMS does not grant this appeal for Weiss Hospital?
This is a long fight, right? So even after this, Dr. Prasad still has to make the repairs that he needs to make. There's still, right, a whole year that he can then reapply the next cycle. And truly, right, like both Ms. Wilma and Senator Sims have said, this is about public accountability to the community, to the patients, to the staff who have also been affected by the sudden closure, right? This is about showing a clear commitment that he has to the hospital and to protecting this very crucial community support system.
That's where we'll have to leave it. Best of luck to all of you. We obviously look forward to following this story as it develops. Wilma Pittman, Lily Lay, State Senator Mike Simmons. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Up next, vending machines with overdose-reversing drugs are coming to some CTA stations. We share which ones and how it all works right after this. There's a push to get Narcan into the hands of Cook County's most vulnerable residents. Public health officials hope their Get Naloxone campaign will destigmatize the overdose-reversing medicine. One way they're doing it is with vending machines offering free Narcan at 5 CTA stations throughout the city. It's a 6-month pilot program between the CTA and Cook County Health. So joining us to discuss more are Dr. Thomas Nutter, Chief Behavioral Health Officer for Cook County Health, Richard Vargas, Director of Outreach and Engagement at the Westside Heroin and Opioid Task Force, and Dan Lustig, President and CEO of the Haymarket Center, a substance use disorder facility. Gentlemen, thanks to all of you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. So there have been, so far, 480 confirmed opioid overdose deaths in Cook County since the start of this year. Now, we know those deaths, they spiked in 2022. That was during the pandemic at 2,002 deaths. But so far this year, down to 1,168 in 2024, so last year. Dan, I want to start with you, please. To what do you attribute this sharp decline in the last couple of years?
I think the biggest approach to this has been the life-saving medication that people are getting. It is one of the biggest and best interventions that we have in preventing overdoses. What we have seen at Haymarket Center is that we are using Narcan between 3 to 4 times a day for people coming in who are off the streets. So that any kind of assistance in access to treatment, getting people medication, is going to bend the needle of what we're seeing.
3 to 4 times a day, though.
Yes.
Is that common? And does that compare to 2022, for example, when the number of deaths were so much higher?
No, the differences that we're seeing now is almost all of our cases involve fentanyl. And that's where a single dose of Narcan has not been enough. So typically we're averaging between 3 and 4 a person just to get them revived.
Okay. Richard, who's most vulnerable to overdosing from opioid use?
So what we're seeing is, and studies are showing, that the largest group of individuals, I think roughly about 50-something percent, are African-American male.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think part of it is there's the exposure. I think there's a lot of street use. So when you combine kind of in areas that are kind of poverty-driven areas and street drug use, those numbers will go up.
Dr. Nutter, what are the chances that we are on track for another decline in the year 2025 when you look at, 480 confirmed opioid overdose deaths so far this year, and it's been trending downward, and it's September.
Well, we're certainly encouraged by the early returns, and that it projected out for the rest of the year, this would mean that we would be down 50% from the high of over 2,000 deaths in 2022. Now, that having been said, that's still nearly 1,000 of our friends, neighbors, and families who've died in this horrific epidemic. And the fact that we have such an amazing tool in Naloxone, we just want to make sure we're getting that out to as many people as possible. This is a medicine that's highly effective in overdose. It's easy to use. It is inexpensive. And it's safe enough to be available over the counter. So it's a very powerful tool, and I think it's been a large part of why we've seen this decline over the last couple of years.
We know that, so we're looking at video now, Cook County Health, your pilot program, putting free Narcan in CTA stations. This is not the stuff that you've got in the CTA stations. That's concentrated on the south and the west sides. What was the catalyst for this program? How likely, and we're looking at a map now of some of those stations where they are, but why transit? Why do we think it's important to have access to Narcan in public transit?
Well, because a lot of people use transit, and so we want to have the medication available where the highest population of folks are, and obviously lots of people take the CTA every day, and so this has been, you know, in addition to having Narcan or Naloxone, Narcan is the old trade name, available in all of our sites in Cook County Health and at the jail and in all Cook County courthouses. It just makes sense to go where people are and to get it in the hands of as many people as possible, not just people who are using opioids, but family, friends, people who may come in contact with somebody who may have overdosed.
Richard, you've witnessed people that you were close to who've struggled with substance abuse and substance use. How did that experience influence the work that you do today?
Well, because as you're experiencing individuals who are having overdose, there's kind of this like hopelessness, like, you know, what can we do in seeing this and these things happen? And I think people kind of experience this kind of feeling of that they can't do anything about it, but that's the whole great purpose of Naloxone. It really is a life-saving overdose reversal medication, and it should be in every home, every neighborhood, and every community, because we can't really just look at street drug use. People use opioid-related pain medications in the home. So again, if a person is using a pain medication or opioid-related pain medication, Naloxone should be present with that in that household.
And of course, to be clear, you know, the stuff that you might find in the home, sometimes it is the street use, but sometimes it is, you know, it's been prescribed,
yes.
And maybe
yes.
A kid in the house
yes.
should get their hands
exactly,
on it.
Yeah.
And you never know.
Or you may have a senior who may be using it and may get confused or double down and take more. So again, if not Naloxone is nearby and present, you can save that life.
And what's important to know is Narcan isn't just for the patient. Narcan should be for friends, family, relatives. This is a life-saving tool that if you are around individuals that are at high risk, carry Narcan on you. It could be that one step that saves a life.
And of course, when you all announced this last week, we heard from a mother who had lost her son
yes.
to an opioid overdose
yes.
on CTA,
yes.
on public transit. Dan, there is a lot of stigma around drug addiction. How do we break that shame?
Education is one important intervention, but it's a multi-problem and faceted issue. Everything about this is the only medical disorder that's both criminalized as well as funded poorly because of stigma. The number one cause of death in the state of Illinois is alcohol-related deaths, but less than 0.1% of the state budget goes towards that. So stigma is killing people and preventing them from going on to get help. So they're getting negative feedback from pharmacists. They're getting negative feedback from the healthcare industry. They're getting negative feedback from friends and family. This is a highly stigmatized medical issue that through education and understanding that treatment works, Narcan is just one piece of this. The back end is being able to really work with treatment providers to get that individual into treatment, because Narcan is very time limited.
Yes.
So Narcan can wear off and that overdose can continue. So getting them into medical services, getting them into a community-based provider is key. And I will tell you, this is the one thing that President Preckwinkle was laser focused on throughout her administration is healthcare for Cook County. She has locked arms with medical providers and community-based providers in providing a single intervention and getting them into treatment is absolutely critical. But that's the way you're going to beat stigma.
So we're also seeing a lot of non-opioid sedatives being mixed in with some of the drugs that we're finding on the street. So beyond fentanyl and xylazine, which is also known as Trank, Dr. Nutter, we're also seeing something else that I can't pronounce yet.
Nitazenes?
Yes. and I guess my point, the reason I raise that is because if Narcan does not necessarily work to reverse some of those other drugs, Narcan can still be valuable in the instance of an overdose.
Yes, even in the case of most of what's on the street now, even as heroin, doesn't have heroin in it anymore. It's under 40% now in the city of Chicago. Close to 90% of it has fentanyl in it, and close to 20% has nitazenes, which are actually more potent even than fentanyl. And it's important to note that the naloxone does still work, and it's not to be avoided. But if we have even a small bump in the amount of nitazenes in a supply, and keep in mind this is an illicit market, that could be devastating.
Okay.
And it's obviously a major concern.
Right. So all of you have your work cut out for you, but keep an eye out for the Narcan vending machines at some CTA stations and other places. My thanks to all of you, Dr. Thomas Nutter, Richard Vargas, and Dan Lustig. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And that is our show for this Wednesday night. Don't forget, you can stay connected with our reporters and what they're working on by following us on Instagram at WTTW Chicago. And join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 10. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, Black Voices, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thanks for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that supports inclusionary excellence throughout the legal profession.